job.
I got it.
Awesome. Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see you. Summer's here, right? That's a good thing. And in Seattle, it's like, it's kind of early to get our summer. Am I right? Because usually it's like the last 2 weeks of August. So I would say after church, of course, enjoy it. Enjoy this week. This is why we live in Seattle. Right? For this, for weather, this is it right here. So live it up. Amen? Well, it's so good to see you this morning as we, get to gather together and celebrate what God's doing. And he's doing some pretty awesome things. If you weren't here last week, I was not here last week, but I listened to the message. And we're in the middle of a series that Pastor Ryan introduced and he entitled his message last week, Breakfast with Jesus. And as I was listening to Breakfast with Jesus, I'm not going to lie, I was getting pretty hungry, thinking about bacon and gravy and bacon mixed with gravy. And I began to get hungry, spiritually speaking, to connect with my Father. Because we were created, right, with this ability to have a relationship with him. And so if you weren't here, I encourage you to listen as Pastor Ryan kicked off our series talking about being sent by a father. And then he talked about breakfast with Jesus. So if you're intrigued or if you feel hungry, listen, you're going to get more hungry as you listen to his message. But we're talking about being sent. And so today, I just want to continue in that theme this morning. And the title of my message is, This is My Story. And if you would turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 1. This is my story. Acts chapter 1. And if you don't have your Bible, it's all good. We have it on the screens. And we're going to start in verse 2 through 8. And I'm just believing, God, would you be here with us today? Father, would you challenge us? Father, would you encourage us? Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Father, I thank you for the story that you've written, for the story that you've written in our lives. And Father, I ask that you encourage us today as we continue to live a life of faith. In your mighty name, I pray, amen. Acts chapter 1. Just before he ascended into heaven, he left instructions for the apostles he had chosen by the Holy Spirit. After the sufferings of his cross, Jesus appeared alive many times to these same apostles over a 40-day period. Jesus proved to them with many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. Pause. I was thinking, many convincing signs. I would think for me, the fact that he was alive talking to me, what more do you need, right? Like, he was dead. We saw him on the cross. He rose. You're alive, Jesus. Okay, we'll continue. Many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. During these encounters, he taught them the truths of God's kingdom realm and shared meals with them, right? Breakfast with Jesus. Jesus instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift that I told you about, the gift that the Father has promised. For John, in verse 5, baptized you in water, but in very few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every time, I want you to remember that, every time, not some of the time, every time they were together, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, is now the time for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he answered, the Father is the one who sets the fixed dates and the times of their fulfillment. You are not permitted to know the timing of all that he's prepared by his authority, but this I promise you. You can underline that as well. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be filled with power. And you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Amen? Have parents, especially, do you ever remember leaving your kids with a babysitter on date night? Okay, think back to that moment. Or we had the privilege this week of joining with about 18 other pastors, just encouraging one another, sharing, and just being together. And it was a phenomenal time. But we ended up leaving two of our kids for a few days as we took our oldest to a kids' camp, and then my wife and I went to this conference, and so we had the privilege of having my wife's sister watch two of our kids, and so she came over, and, you know, sister-in-law of the year there for staying with our kids for a few days. But, you know, you're feeling pretty good about leaving your kids, you know, especially if it's a date night. Like, you wait all month for a date night, and you know, kid-free, well, what are you going to do? You know, it doesn't matter. Take a nap, sit there, and just have silence. It doesn't matter what the purpose is to do. But my sister-in-law came over this week, and, you know, we were feeling pretty great. And then my wife, being the amazing mother that she is, started giving my sister-in-law all of the things that she needed to know, right, in order to have a successful week. You know, like, you know, garbage day is on this day, and he, Titus the baby, goes to bed here, and he likes to go to bed at this time, and he only eats mac and cheese and candy, and, you know, he gets up, don't put him in his crib, let him sleep where he wants, because he's in a funk for the last week where he just gets out of his crib and sleeps wherever he wants. And so we start going through, and as my wife began to go through the list, I can't imagine what my sister-in-law was thinking, but I was thinking, I am so overwhelmed. I am so confused. Oh, and the cat needs this. And I'm thinking, we don't even own a cat anymore. And and so I have all these details, and I don't even remember, are we coming? Are we going? And I was just ready to just say, you know what? Let's, all the details. And I'm thinking, she needs a degree in, like, babysittering, because it's going to be a miracle, right? And I'm sure she was thinking, just leave, I'll keep them alive, don't worry about the rest. Okay, but I began to be thinking about all those things, and I was getting overwhelmed, thinking about, I don't remember what we're talking about anymore. And I'm sure the disciples in Acts chapter 1 were feeling the same way. Here in Acts 1, or the first final instructions that Jesus is giving his disciples before he would ascend into heaven. Okay, imagine you think you had a crazy month. Imagine the month that the disciples had. Okay, Jesus had been with them for the last 40 days, but they had spent the last 3 years of their life with Jesus. Imagine these disciples probably experiencing the best 3 years they had ever experienced in their whole life. Here we had 12 ordinary men that were fishing, that were outcasts, that were just living what you and I would call a normal 9-to-5 life, just doing what, you know, just doing my thing, you know, eat, sleep, repeat, eat, sleep, repeat. And here Jesus comes on the scene 3 years before and says, you're fishing for fish, but I want to make you fishers of men. Lay down your life, come after me. And the crazy thing is, they did, right? And their life, so imagine the high that they felt for the last 3 years. I mean, here we've got these fishermen that are now seeing dead people raised. Okay, I haven't seen that yet. Seeing, you know, this passionate 30-year-old man spitting in people's eyes, making mud, and their eyes are receiving sight. So imagine that this is like shocking to them, because they're not just fishing anymore. They are living the good days of life. Okay, and just 40 days ago, they saw their king get crucified on the cross. They saw their hope hanging on a tree. But then the pain and the shock of that probably disappeared as quick as it happened when 3 days later, he's not there anymore and he rose from the dead. So imagine the whirlwind that these guys are feeling. Could you imagine the ups and the downs, even emotionally, of like, he said he was going to die and he did die. He said he was going to raise, and guess what? He did. And then I'm sure in their minds, they began to say, what did he say next? He said he was going to come back, but then he said he was going to leave again. And he comes back, and they have 40 days where they're with Jesus. And he is sharing with them about his kingdom. He's doing all these great things. And I'm sure that they were feeling the same way that I felt the other day when we were giving the instructions to my sister-in-law. They were probably thinking, I almost don't want you to go. Jesus, I know you said that we've got what it takes as your disciples, but I almost don't want you to leave. Right? I'm good, Jesus, with you being here teaching us. You know, and when we start talking about being sent by a father, I think we need to recognize this morning that that can be an overwhelming thing. Because I've met a lot of people that say, I want God to use me, but I'm not ready to be used by God. I'm not ready, God. Like, I know we sing the song, if you could use anything, Lord, you can use me. I don't really mean that. I mean you could use me in a few days or a few years or when I'm more mature or when this is different or when that circumstance is different. But the thought of being used by God can be very overwhelming for many people. In fact, it causes many people to give up. It causes many people to lose heart. It causes many people to be discouraged and just say, I'll just continue to be in a season of receiving because I can't be used by God because my life is a mess. And I want to just relieve that stress over us today because God wants to use you and he doesn't want you to be overly burdened in that process. Okay, the responsibility that we carry of being a Christian, the responsibility that we carry of walking out our kingdom responsibility is not meant to overwhelm us, but that responsibility is meant to empower us to live effective lives. Okay, so when we talk about doing things for the kingdom, the purpose isn't to overwhelm you. So if you're feeling discouraged and overwhelmed by the plans and what God is asking you to do, I want to encourage you that God wants to take that discouragement today and he wants to fill you with a spirit of his peace and a spirit of his empowerment that is going to cause you to find joy in the journey of serving the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So I want to say this. Change is good. I got an amen. I thought it was going to be crickets. Come on, say it. Say it with me. Change is good. Change is good. You're thinking, why are we saying this? Because sometimes you have to convince yourself that it's good. Sometimes I have to convince myself that it is good. But change is good. So here we have the disciples, literally moments away from everything changing. He's not going to be with them. He's not going to give them cues. He's not going to be the one to perform the miracles anymore, but he's asking them to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to be an extension of his heart. And I'm sure they were, what's that term? Cautiously optimistic. Right? I love that phrase. Right? They were probably excited for the future, but they were cautious. And they were thinking, I'm not fully convinced. And it's okay this morning if we're not fully convinced. And I'm not really excited about this because I don't know. And I would encourage us this morning to continue to walk down the road that the Lord has called you to walk down in your life. There's a promise in Isaiah 43, and it says, forget the former things, for I am doing something new. And I believe sometimes we get so content and so okay with where we're at that our satisfaction with our current state can sometimes be the biggest hindrance to what God wants to do in us in the future. Yeah. Our satisfaction with our current state can sometimes be the biggest hindrance for what God wants to do in our future. The second thing that I want to look at this morning is the word that my kids hate and the word that your kids hate, and it is the word wait. The Lord says, wait. And they're probably thinking, okay, we'll wait as long as you want. Just don't leave, Jesus. Just don't leave. Wait. In verse 4, Jesus says this. He says, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait until you receive the gift that I told you about. Okay, though Jesus is leaving, he says, wait, I'm going to send you someone else. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you the power. So the disciples were probably thinking, Jesus, I finally was ready. And now you're saying, wait? And he says, wait, because you don't want to go unprepared. Wait, you don't want to go into a battle without a weapon. Wait, the thing that's going to cause you to be successful is not you, it's the Holy Spirit in you. So wait until you receive the power and then go. Okay, that word wait, we don't like that word as Americans, do we? If I have to wait for more than 3 minutes for a coffee, I'm looking how I can get a free coffee. But I think somewhere in your policy, Starbucks says, if I wait more than 3 minutes, then you owe me a coffee. Right? We as Americans especially, we don't like the word wait. Right? We want a microwave that goes faster than the normal microwave. So Jesus is saying, hey, we instructed you. I instructed you for 3 years. I taught you, but just wait. And if you look at that word wait this morning, you're going to get really encouraged. Because the word wait doesn't mean what you think it means, but the word wait translates to the word you and I know as await. Okay, wait and await. Okay, to await means to constantly stay in a place of expectation. And I believe that the Lord would say that to us today, that he wants us to live in a place where we are constantly in a spirit of expectation, where we're looking for the Lord to move on our behalf. You know what expectation is. When you were a kid and it was Christmas Eve and you just thought, I just can't wait until the morning. There was an excitement. You know, God wants to fill us in our everyday lives with a spirit of expectation. You know, Psalms 42, as we talked about earlier, where there is an excitement for the things of God. There is an expectation for what God wants to do in and through your life today. There is an expectation that says, God, how are you going to move through this circumstance? Listen, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know that many of us have adverse circumstances. And I think it's very tempting to look at those circumstances and get discouraged, but I want to encourage you today with whatever you're going through that you look at those circumstances with eyes of expectation that says, God, how are you going to use this situation for your glory? God, how are you going to use this situation for your purpose? That you expect, that you get your hopes up expecting God to move. That is one area that we can put it all on the table. Say, God, I know you're not going to leave me, because he's not. A spirit of expectation. So await the power. He says, disciples, I know I just told you to go. I'm not being fickle here, but don't go unprepared. And I want to encourage us in our everyday lives that we don't live our lives unprepared, meaning without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the power to accomplish the things of the kingdom. Await, await that filling. Be expectant for God to use you at your workplace. Be expectant that God's going to do a miracle in your finances. Be expectant that God is going to change the heart of your children that needs to be changed. Be expectant if you need a miracle in your marriage that God is going to do that. Expect the unexpectable. Amen? Expect the impossible, because that's who our God is. Yeah. Jesus says this. He says, wait. And he says, you're going to receive power. Well, why do they Why are they going to receive power? Because power is going to be needed. Okay, they're going to receive power because power is needed. And I look at Jesus, and he was the most patient person with those disciples, and it gives me hope. Because I know when I talk to my kids and I'm talking about these earth, just deep heart issues with them, and you know, we're having, you know, just this conversation, and then they go, "Hey Dad, I have a question." I'm like, they're gonna ask. They're gonna ask me about what we're talking about. And they say something like, "When did the Mariners play?" Or, "What are we gonna have for dinner?" Right? So here's Jesus, and he's just saying, all these things, you're going to get power. And they say, "Oh, Jesus, we got a question. When are you going to restore your kingdom in Israel?" And Jesus probably was thinking, "Are you even here? What are you thinking about?" Here I'm talking about power, and they're pretty much what they're saying when they say, "Hey, when are you going to restore your kingdom?" They're pretty much saying, "God, when are you going to rule on your throne in Rome, and we're going to rule with you?" Pretty much, "God, when are we going to be in heaven with you?" is what they're asking. AKA, "God, when are we off the hook to do what you've called us to do?" That's what they're asking. They're saying, "God, but when are you going to rule? When is this thing going to be over?" And I'm sure he shook his head with a smile, like, "Oh, man, maybe I'll stay for a few more days, God, because these guys don't get it yet, you know?" They're still thinking about, when are they going to be done? When is it just going to be heaven on earth? Yeah. Listen, God is not going to bail you out of your life, and God is not going to bail me out of my life until he's accomplished in it what he wants to accomplish. Yeah. Listen, I look at things with my natural eyes and our nation, and I go, "God, I think you have a plan." But listen, God is not going to bail us out of our problems until he's accomplished what he wants to accomplish in and through our lives. Amen? He's not done with you yet. And I believe the Lord is saying, "I am setting up my kingdom inside of you so that my kingdom can flow through you." Okay, that's what God, Jesus, was after with his disciples. He's saying, "I'm setting my kingdom inside of you so that it's going to flow through you so that it will accomplish a good work." And he says this, "And I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you something greater than yourself." The next thing this morning is, I believe that there's an invitation that he gave to the disciples. And there's an invitation that as we're saying, "God, we want to be sent by a father." And instead of getting overwhelmed, instead of getting discouraged with, "Well, I feel inadequate. Well, I feel, God, like you can't use me because of this or that." How many of you have given God reasons why he can't use you? Right? "Well, God, you can't use me because of this." And God's thinking, "I love you. Just stop. Just stop. Let me do it through you." Right? You don't need to convince God of why he can't use you. He created you. But there's an invitation. And so before you get overwhelmed thinking of being used by the kingdom, I want to give the invitation today to tell your story. Because I believe that's the invitation that he gave the disciples right before he went to be with Jesus, is the invitation to tell their story. In verse 8, it says, "You will be my witnesses." So that word witness, okay? When I think of that word witness, and when you look it up in our sweet Webster's, it talks about a word that is used in the court of law. Okay, "You will be my witnesses." Okay, if you continue to study the word witness like I did, you will see, and a witness is defined as one who was present and has the information that is vital to the truth. Okay, "You will be my ones who were present and have the information that is vital to the truth." Okay, be my witnesses. Tell my story. Tell your story. Okay, if you continue to look at the word witness, it means to recreate. recreate. To recreate. To tell your story. Think about it. When you, and I've never been called in for a court to be a witness, but they say, tell us what you heard. Tell us what you saw. Tell us what you experienced. Recreate. Go back to that moment. Remember what God did. Recreate the story. Not fabricate a story, right? Because we're good at that, right? And pastors are probably the best at fabricating stories, right? Good fishermen, right? But recreate the story. Yes, being sent by a father is work. Yes, serving God is not easy all the time. But I want to encourage us to not get overwhelmed with what could be and get overwhelmed with sharing our story. Because as we're witnesses to what Christ has done, we're going to be sent and we're going to be used by the Father. In Revelations 12, a great, great scripture, it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, but by the bold word of their witness, or bold word of their testimony. You overcome by the bold word of your testimony. Okay, that word testimony is tightly knit to the word witness. But if you look at the word testimony, and I hope you don't get discouraged, because it's church, we should be encouraged. But it means this, martyria. Martyria, well, I've heard that before. Martyr. 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 No thanks. I'm good. I'll pass. Martyr. Martyria. It also sounds like mature. Right? Sounds like mature. Martyria means your evidence, your certification, what you have witnessed, what you have seen, what you have heard for yourself. You would be martyred before you could deny what you'd witnessed. When you know that you know that you know that you know that you know what you saw, no one can convince you otherwise. And you would rather be martyred than to deny what you saw. That's your testimony. Where you are so convinced what God has done, not even the best, sorry, used car salesman, can't convince you otherwise. Not the best salesman can convince you otherwise. You know that you know. You overcome by your testimony, by your story, by what God has done in and through you. Martyria. Here's the beautiful thing. I look out at this room and I think of just the different gifts that exist in this room. Right? We all have different gifts. But the thing about gifts is, you know, a lot of people have the same type of gifts, right? The way you use them is different. But here's the beautiful thing this morning. Is no one has your story. Come on, no one has your testimony. No one has walked down the road that you've walked down. And some of you are thinking, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. Well, maybe not. Seriously, and I'm not making light of it. I understand that part of it. But no one has your story. No one. And the beautiful thing this morning is that your story needs to be shared with those who need to be encouraged and need to be changed by what God has done in and through you. The beautiful thing is no one has your story. Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to go, because Jesus knows that the best way to spread his kingdom is by firsthand experience. By a personal invitation. I could convince you all day long, I've heard this is good. I think that's good. But when you say, I've experienced it for myself. He's walked with me. That's when it gets real in people's lives. You know, I can tell you about, you know, being a father all day long. Parenting is really hard work. But until I've walked down that road myself, do I then just get a glimpse? There's an invitation this morning as we're talking about being sent by a father to tell your story. Tell your story. Witness what Christ has done in you. Come on. Don't overthink it and be like, oh, I got to be used by God. Tell your story. Tell your testimony. Tell how you experienced Christ for yourself. How God met you when you needed to be met. How you thought you were going to go down with the flames and the Lord rescued you from those flames. Tell your story. I know because it happened to me. Not I know because I know a guy. I know because I've experienced it. The next thing I want to encourage us with today is there's an invitation to tell your story, and this is going to be the hardest one, but I want to encourage you to embrace your story. Embrace your testimony. Eugene Peterson, a famous author, he was the one that helped write The Message, right? One of the coolest Bible, you know, paraphrases that we have. We love to read that one when we feel like the word doesn't make sense. Right? Anyone else like me? Like, I don't understand that scripture, so you read it in The Message, right? Eugene Peterson, he said this. He said, we live in a world impoverished of a story. So it's not surprising that many of us have picked up the bad habit of extracting truths from stories that we read. We distill a moral that we can use as a slogan or a motto. We live in a world, pretty much, he's saying, that needs to be told the whole story. And I think about this quote, and it makes me say I'm guilty. Because I look at my testimony, I look at my story. Again, I can't look at yours. But I look at mine, and I say, well, God, you can use this part of my story. Because it'll preach. God, you can use this part of my testimony because it'll really impact someone. But God, I don't want you to use the other part of my story, the part that I don't want to tell people. Why? Because it won't sell, God. It doesn't sound good. It's not pretty. It's not flashy. But we live in a world that's impoverished of a story. And I think about our own testimonies, and I think, do we become producers of our story and like, okay, I'm gonna take that story, but God, I want to morph it so it works better? Or do we say, God, this is the story that you've given me. Would you use this story? Do we become producers of our story or do we become caretakers of our story? Do we steward the testimony that God has given us? So I want to encourage us before we go this morning with three aspects of our story. I want to encourage you today, number one, that you would know your story. That you would know your story. Psalm 77, verse 11 and 12, it says this. It says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder at all of your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Remember. Know your story. Know when God rescued you. Know when God pulled you out of the clay. Know when you didn't know what was going to happen and God showed up on the scene. Know that. Not just know it, but get it inside of you. Learn to recognize the faithfulness of God in your life. Learn to recognize the hand of God when you want to blame the devil for that thing. Know your story. There's something beautiful in my life that has happened when I can look back and recognize the hand of God over my life. And you know what? If I were to go back those 5 years or 10 years or whatever the time frame, at that time, I was thinking the circumstance that I was in was the furthest thing from the Lord working. But looking back, I can see it was the hand of God. And I want to encourage you to look back over your life, to look back at the good times, but to look back over those hard times and know the story, to know the testimony of what God was doing. Deuteronomy tells us to write it down. Write your story down, right? You can be literal. You can write it in a journal. That's fine. But what it's saying is know it. Get it inside of you. Be confident in the story. Okay, there's something beautiful when you can recognize the Lord in the good and in the hard. The second thing, yeah, we can know our story. Okay, that works. But I want to encourage you today to love your story. Yeah. Love your story. And that's hard. Because I don't love the hard things that have happened to me. I don't love the terrible things that could have happened to you. I don't love those things. I don't love divorce. I don't love pain. I don't love sickness. I don't love cancer. I don't love rebellion. But love your story. Ecclesiastes 3 says this. It says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity into man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Listen, one of the reasons that we don't love our story is because we don't love failure. Because we don't like to be embarrassed of our past, of who we used to be. We don't love our story because we don't love everything that has happened to us. And I'm not going to pretend to love everything that has happened to us or you. So we have a hard time loving our story because not everything was good. Not everything is like, oh yeah, that was great. But can we learn to look through the lenses of the Lord that doesn't see your life one puzzle piece at a time? Because our kids, they love, well, I think we love as parents to want our kids to want to do puzzles. But if I really think about having a 2, 6, 8, and 11-year-old do a puzzle, all it means is lost pieces, incomplete projects, right? We didn't get our goal. But I think we do that with the Lord, where we look at our life and we just can see the current puzzle piece that we're being dealt with, that we're playing with. And the Lord would say, would you learn to love your story by looking at the whole picture? Because what you're going through right now in your life, in and of itself, doesn't make sense. But in 6 months, but in a year, but in 5 years, when you see the picture, when you can see that God is after your heart from the beginning, not until tomorrow, but the beginning into the end, and he's creating your story. Would we love the story that God is creating? Listen, we can love our story. Not that we love everything that has happened or hasn't happened, right? That's a big part of our story, the disappointments. But when you can look at your story and see the fruit that is going to come in other people's lives through the story that you had to live. This week, I think it was my son. I think it was our son. I have not the greatest memory sometimes. But I think it was our son that asked my wife, he said, what was your hardest day of ever? What was your hardest day you've ever experienced? And you know what? And you all were thinking about that. Sorry that we're going there. You're like, ah. But here's the thing. Our hardest day was also the best day for us. It was the hard, and again, you're thinking, well, I can't. My situation doesn't, it's not the hardest and best. Okay, that's fine. But the truth and the principle is, out of those hard things are going to come amazing fruit. Because for us, our hardest day was also the day that God met us. And though we don't like to think about it, we don't want to recreate it, we don't want to relive it, without that day, we wouldn't be where we are today. Love your story. Don't be guilty of piecemealing your story and taking this and taking that. And, well, God, you can use this. Can God be glorified through your whole story? Ask yourself that. Can God, your whole story, or are there areas that you've said, well, God, you're not going to, you can't have this part. Would you give him your story? Because your story needs to be told. Here's what the third thing I want to talk about as we dismiss today is know your story, love your story. Okay, those are two, but then the third one, tell your story. Tell your story. Here's what I know about the power of God. Here's what I know about the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit works anywhere where he's welcomed. The same Holy Spirit that met me in my desperation is the same Holy Spirit that can meet me today. The same Holy Spirit that you felt today during worship is the same Holy Spirit that has work in Africa this morning as well. The same Holy Spirit that is alive in you is the same Holy Spirit that will work with those who speak a different language than you do. Okay, the power of the Holy Spirit is universal. It works. It works. It's not, well, it only works with, you know, in Maple Valley, or it only works in Spokane, or it only works in Africa 2 weeks at a time during a mission trip, or it only works at summer camp when you have that camp experience. No, the same Holy Spirit that worked at summer camp is the same Holy Spirit that wants to work at your workplace tomorrow. After we enjoy the sunshine today, of course. The power of God is universal. So Jesus says, I want you to go and I want you to be one who recreates the story. Be my witnesses. And he says, and then he gets specific. He gets specific, right? And sometimes when God gets specific, it means we can't be off the hook anymore. Because it's like, oh man, God, I thought you were talking in general terms. And he's like, no, I'm talking in real terms. He says, I want you to tell your story, but I want you to do it. Not hypothetically, I want you to do it in Jerusalem. I want you to be my witnesses. Well, what is that? I want you to tell my story at home. Your Jerusalem is your home. I want you to tell my story to your wife. I want you to tell my story to your kids. I want you to let your kids know that time that God met you. I want you to let your kids know that you maybe had the same struggles that they're having. Because there's times that the enemy likes to convince us that we're the only one dealing with the problems we're dealing with. Okay, sometimes, and I feel like a terrible person for admitting it, but sometimes I was talking to some pastor friends this week, and just hearing their struggles in their church, it encouraged me. Why did it encourage me? Not because I'm a sick person. It encouraged me because it made me say, I'm not alone. Come on, right? I'm not like, yeah, that happened to you. No, but it made me say, that happened to you and you overcame. That happened to you and you're not permanently scarred. Come on, think about it. Even with our personal struggles. Oh, you're the only one that struggles with that? Oh, you don't struggle? Oh, what's wrong with me? Right? Sometimes just hearing that someone might share your struggle is going to encourage you. So parents, share. Again, you exercise wisdom, but share your story with your children. Let them know, hey, I had to make that decision for Christ just like you did. Because what it's going to do, it's going to make them say, well, man, if Dad did it, then so can I. So Jesus said, would you be my witnesses in your Jerusalem? Okay, yeah, God, I can do that. Then he says, would you be my witnesses in your Judea? Well, thank you. Some of you are like, I don't even know where that is. Well, your Judea is, would you be a witnesses with your neighbors? Would you not just like next door neighbor, but the person that you do life with, your friends, your neighbor, the person you sit by at church, the person that you might work with, would you tell your story to your coworkers? Because as you're my witness, as you share your story, the power of God is going to go through you, and it is going to do what you can't do on your own. Listen, you could probably tell your coworkers till you're blue in the face how they're wrong, how they're in sin, and how they're going to burn, right? And we'll see how effective that is. And it may work, right? You know, there's a, you know, you're telling me there's a chance, right? It worked. Well, but would you tell the story of how you gave your life to Christ? Because they're going to say, well, if it worked for you, it can work for me. So would you tell the story to your Judea, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to the kids that you coach? Again, one of the biggest lies of our enemy is isolation. One of the biggest lies of the enemy is isolation. I'm the only one. I'm all alone. Sometimes just knowing that someone's gone through the same thing gives you hope to keep walking. Jesus says, would you tell your story at home? Would you tell your story to the neighbors? And then he says, would you tell your story in Samaria? Okay, in Samaria. And Samaria means, would you tell your story to strangers? Would you tell your story? It could also mean to those who are different than you, your enemies. Right? The Samaritans were the enemies of the Jewish people. Would you tell your story to those who don't vote like you, who don't think like you, who don't agree, who don't raise their kids like you, who don't spank or not spank like you? Would you tell your story for those who might have a different opinion than you? Would you even tell them your story? And those are the ones that I get really tempted to not tell them my story, but tell them off, to tell them how they're wrong, to tell them how they're, you know, doing it wrong. Right? But would you tell your story to those who are different? Tell them your story. Tell them what God did in you, and watch the Holy Spirit work. Listen, Jesus was so incredible. And worship team, if you would come. Because Jesus was effective to the Jew. Jesus was effective to the Samaritan. Jesus was effective to the Gentile. Jesus crossed denominations. Jesus crossed political views. Jesus crossed nationality differences. Jesus crossed barriers that we have been empowered to cross. Jesus was effective to all. And God has given everyone. We say, God, if I just had a tool. Well, God has given us all a tool. And it's called our story. God has given you your testimony. Yeah, you can do all these great exploits for the kingdom. You can get knowledge, and I encourage you to get knowledge. I encourage you to get training. But I encourage you to get good at sharing your story, because I believe your story of how God met you is the greatest tool that God wants to use in you. It's the greatest tool. And you're thinking, well, I got my doctorate. Well, that's cool. Good for you. It's awesome. But allow God to use that as part of your story. So come on, can you stand with me this morning? Because we're in a season where we're saying, God, we want to be sent by a father. And my prayer for you today is that this week, that God would give you an opportunity. So this is what I'm praying for you. That God would give you an opportunity to share your story with someone that needs to be encouraged. So I just want to pray over us, and then we're going to sing. But I especially felt to pray over releasing those who have never told your story to someone before because of fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, whatever it is, but that there would be opportunities for you to be used to release that story. And number two, I felt that, like myself, there's probably many people that have said, God, I love my story, but I just love pieces of my story. And I felt like the Lord said that even the parts that you don't like to talk about, that God wants to use those whole parts. And no pressure, right? I'm not going to be like, so tell us your deepest, darkest, hard things. No, I trust that in the right time, the Lord is going to work on your heart. But that there is a story that hasn't been told that needs to be told. And it's that story that has come out of some pain, some doubt, some hurt. And that the Lord, like last week, wants to heal that hurt over breakfast with Jesus, Pastor Ryan. He wants to heal that hurt so that then you can tell that side of the story. Some of you this morning, you may say, oh, I don't have a story yet with Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to encourage you that today is the day that He wants to start writing your story. And I want to encourage you to allow Jesus to come into your heart today, to forgive you of your sin, and to start writing the greatest story that you've ever heard. Allow God. Some of you are saying maybe there's a new chapter that needs to be started. Well, this morning I believe that God wants to start that chapter in your life. So would you close your eyes? I just want to pray over us, and then Steve, we can sing. But Jesus, this morning, I thank you for the story that you've given us. Father, I thank you that you've given each and every one of us a testimony, a story that needs to be told. Father, and only you know the details. Only you know just the deep places of that story. Only you know the hurt. Only you know the pain. But Father, I pray this week that we would have opportunity to share our story with those that we're in relationship with, with those that we come across. Father, this morning, Father, for those that have believed the lie that said, I don't have a story, Father, would they feel your presence? Would they feel a spirit of faith today, encouraging them to be bold with what you've done? Father, I pray for those that have said, God, you can use this, but God, you can't use this because there's too much pain, there's too much hurt. Father, would you heal hurt this morning? Come on, let's just receive from the Lord. Let's allow Him to do a work in us. We'll get to the Son. But God, would you, I just release, Father, just the spirit of our story to just come out of us. Father, that this week there would be opportunities to share those things. Father, that it's witnessing. God, that we wouldn't psych ourselves out with, well, I don't know how to be used. Father, would we share what you've done in our hearts? In Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this morning as we close.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son. In my
today. Let's go out of here, but let's go being sent by Father, because we have a story to tell. Amen? Amen. Let's go out of here. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.